Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Senior pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson welcome you and would like to invite you to go on a journey of changing the church, challenging the colleges, and charging into the community. The following message is from the series, The God of the Bible. And today's message is a continuation with part two of God, Our Righteousness.
Jeremiah chapter 33. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, of which you say it is desolate, without man and without beasts. In the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate without man or without inhabitant and without beasts, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, and the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. And those who will bring sacrifices of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in this place which is desolate and without man and without beast, and in all the cities there shall again be a dwelling place of shepherds causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities and in the mountains, in the cities in the lowland, in the cities of the south and in the land of Benjamin. In the places around about Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah, the flock shall again pass under the hands of who counts them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, that I will perform the good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. Let me read that again. Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, that I will perform the good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. And in those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name which she will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Father, for these next few minutes, let me speak as your oracle. Let me declare your truth. Let me speak with clarity, with no confusion. You are not the author of confusion, but let me speak with clarity. Let me speak with the voice that they can hear, and let it be the voice of the shepherd, Lord, the voice that washes bishops our souls and causes us to dwell in safe places, Lord. Remove distractions, Father. Don't let us get focused on what is not you, but let us all be attentive that we could get applicable words that we could apply to our lives that will cause us to walk in a wealthy place. We thank you, we glorify your name, and we ask these prayers in Jesus' name, and all God's people said amen and amen. For a few moments last week, I talked about the Lord, our righteousness, and I believe the young ones are going out now. Amen. If you'd want your young ones, I believe that's teens, all right, up to 19, 20, 21, somewhere in that neighborhood. All right, they're going out now. You're welcome to go with them. But for a few moments, just indulge with me, Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 10 through 16, and I want to continue from where I started last week when I was in Jeremiah chapter number 23, and I talked about God, our righteousness, focusing on him, having a mission to go after the lost, always dwelling in that place that the prophets called there, where he was, and that we would be, and that we would see the overflow of the blessing of being where he told us to be. So today I go to Jeremiah chapter 33 and I introduce you a little bit more to this writing of Jeremiah, because Jeremiah is now specifically trying to get a message to a specific group of people. Stay with me for a few moments. He writes to reveal the great and mighty things that the Lord promised that he would show them. In Jeremiah chapter number 33, God says, call on me, Jeremiah, and I will show you great and mighty things that you did not know. When we begin to read Jeremiah, we're now reading from him writing from a God that said, I want to show you great and mighty things that you did not know. Jeremiah began to prophesy, or he prophesies that he may connect his prophets to the prophets that would be Ezekiel and Daniel. He has a very clear spiritual message, and it's very simple. He says, change and repent. It's not deep. It sounds like a good message for America. Change and repent. Every now and then, I think we look for the complex, and when it's simple, it's hard to receive. If there is anything that we ought to be saying to America is what Jeremiah said to his people of his day, change and repent. Somebody said that to me, say change and repent. Jeremiah begins to proclaim the message of change and repentance. Most theologians believed that his assignment was tough because he was dealing with a stubborn and rebellious nation. Here is what God is saying, change and repent. And they would say back to him, who are you? Jeremiah would come again and say, change and repent. And they would ask him, do you not know that we are Abraham's children? One of the things, and I'm writing about that in this season, one of the things that a prophet must understand, that sometimes the assignment is tough, because who you have to prophesy to. I will say that again. Every now and then, especially those of you that have prophetic oil on your life, sometimes the assignment is difficult. And this is what Jeremiah's situation was. It was difficult because who he had to prophesy to. They were stubborn. They were rebellious. They liked the prophecies about the house and the cars, but they didn't like the prophecies about come back to God. They liked the prophecies about Boaz and a wife and a it's your season, but they didn't like the prophecies, you've been weighed and balanced and you've been found wanting. They were stubborn and they were rebellious. I wish I had a little bit more time. You can put this in your notes. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 7 and 27 and 28, he describes how stubborn they are. Sometimes the assignment is tough because who you have to prophesy to. Jeremiah writes a little bit more, and we then begin to discover his personality and how he clung to his assignment even though they were stubborn and rebellious, and how he demonstrated how to be a strong leader even when your leadership is rejected. It is not happenstance that he becomes known as the weeping prophet. Most theologians say he's wept because he shed so many tears over the hardness of his people and the severity of their judgment. He would cry because he knew the consequences of them rejecting what God had said. That's deep. I don't have time to do with it. Check out the book that I'm writing about the prophet. He wept because he knew the consequences of them rejecting what the Lord has said. That is a very, 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 very difficult place to be, that you know you heard God and you share and then you reject it. And then God says, now, because they rejected what you said, this is what will happen in 3 days. This is what will happen in 3 years. This is what will happen over the span of their lifetime. It is a very tough place. It will cause you to be a weeping prophet. God speaks very clearly, and he says in Jeremiah chapter number 1, he says, now don't tell me about your youth. Don't tell me that you can't speak. He says, but go to everybody that I send you. And when you go to everybody I send you, pull down, dig up, and then plant again. Pull down, dig up, and then plant again. And in the midst of that, I'm trying to find out, not only can you hear, and I'm almost there, and so y'all can get on the bandwagon and go with me, all right? He says, I'm trying to find out, can you hear, can you understand, so that you might see. Everyone under the sound of my voice that has prophetic oil, it is not enough for the prophet to hear. That's what sheep do. And I'm talking now. The prophet must not only be able to hear, my sheep heareth my voice. The prophet or the prophetic people must move from just hearing. Come on, somebody sent me real loud. I got to move from just hearing. And I have to move to understanding. And from understanding, I've got to move to the place that because he spoke, because I understood, now I see what he's saying. After calling Jeremiah, after giving him his assignment, the next thing God asked Jeremiah, what do you not hear, not understand, what do you see? Too many prophetic people, and I'm almost there. You can get ready to doxology me, son. Too many prophetic people. Oh, God, I'm somewhere now. That's all we do is hear. And the hearing changed going along with the situation. The hearing changes going along with the situation. But God does not just want us to hear. Go read Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse 4 through 13. He says, speaks to him, then he gets him to understand. And then the next question he asks Jeremiah, what do you not hear, not understand, what do you see? Do me a favor, talk to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, in this season, I want to know, what do you see? What do you see about America? What do you see about all of Baltimore City? What do you see? I know that's too far for some of us. What do you see about your family? Because people with prophetic oil, and specifically prophets, they move from hearing to understanding to seeing. This whole disposition or prologue that I just gave you a moment ago about what's going on in America came out of hearing, understanding, and I see it. When we see properly, and I'm almost there, when we see properly, we can advance months, years, and decades because what we saw. Ask your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? I heard the Lord say. No. I don't know what you heard. I want to know, what do you see? And if you can't see it far enough for your family, come on, let's bring it a little closer. What do you see for yourself? What do you see? I see myself going back to school. I don't have the money, but God gonna make a way somehow. I see myself, amen, becoming a good friend to somebody. Come on, do me a favor, ask your neighbor again. What do you see? What do you see? If the blind lead the blind, all of us cannot be absent of seeing. Do we will all end in a ditch? Come on, do me a favor. Talk to your neighbor one more time. Say, what do you see? What do you see? You done heard all of these words from the Lord. You ought to have vision now. Ah, God. Come on, ask your neighbor one more time. Come on, ask them, say, what do you see? Get real loud, because I can tell they don't want you to talk. Come on, ask them, what do you see? What do you see? I see that no weapon formed against me can prosper. I see that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I see that he has made me the head only and not beneath. What do you see? I see that one, amen, can chase 1,000, and two can put 10,000 to a flight. So if you and I just stay together, everything gonna be all right. What do you see? Out of prophetic oil to hear. And sheep here, I'm going to keep saying that because that's how I heard the Holy Spirit say, some of us ought not still be sheep. We ought to understand. And because we understand, we can see. We can see what's going on over Baltimore, how to bring reconciliation. We ought to be able to see all over the greater Hillendale community to see how to bring this community together. We ought to see, okay, let's go to wherever it is you live, 2345 Albury Avenue, wherever it is that you live. You ought to be able to see in your community what's going on and then figure out what to do. I was talking to my uncle. He lives in the wonderful outside of the Kingsdale, out of the Raleigh, North Carolina area, and he could not have, he's a pastor, and he could not have church last Sunday. I said, Uncle Larry, what are you doing? He said, well, remember, I don't know. Have I ever brought Uncle Larry up here? And Aunt Lois? I don't know if I brought them up here. They're pastors, all right? But I was talking to him, and I said, Uncle Larry, what you doing? He said, we can't have church. I went to the church, the electricity out. I said, all right, then what you doing? He says, I noticed my neighbor on the way outside to chop up a tree that was huge. He says, so I ran to McDonald's real quickly, and I'm on my way back to my house to help my neighbor. Why are you making this point? He saw something out of a situation that I said, wow, Uncle Larry, you can't have church, so you just gonna be the church. You can't have church, and I'm talking about the gathering together where we clap our hands, sing our song, pray, so you just go be the church. He had to see something. And I think because we have gotten locked into just hearing and we've not gotten to understanding, we can't get to see it. This is what this situation requires, that all might be saved. Jeremiah in the text, chapter number 1, and I'm getting ready to get to my points, and I promise you, because God is trying to get us to the place that we understand that he is our righteousness, God moves Jeremiah from hearing to understanding to seeing. Somebody say real loud, I don't even want you to talk to your neighbor, I want you to talk to yourself. In this season, I got to move from hearing to understanding to seeing. After Jeremiah tells God what he has seen, guess what the Lord say back to Jeremiah? You have seen well. Wow. Wouldn't it be amazing if what we're seeing in this moment for ourselves, for our families, for our community, for America, that God would say, you've seen well. Somebody say real loud, Lord, help me to see. See so much that I'll be drawn back to that still small voice. I'll see so clearly, and I'm almost done, I promise you. I would see so clearly that I'd be drawn back to that still small voice.
You've just heard a message on Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or you know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to order the full-length message. We hope you are encouraged to live the victorious life. And remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.